God says to the sinner, and the believer says to the sinner, it isn't funny. It isn't just a night on the town. It isn't just drinking yourself under the table. It isn't just going for broke. It isn't just teasing with lies and coyness. All unrighteousness is sin. It's wrong to laugh at filth to encourage it. It's wrong to treat marriage as a joke. It's wrong to excuse greed. You don't treat cancer lightly. You don't treat leukemia lightly. Only fools make a mock of sin. There are, unfortunately, a lot of these people. You overhear sordid conversation and the group laughs. Treated as normal procedure, that youth will have its fling before settling down. It should be heard with shame and humiliation. It doesn't take dirt to mature a young man. His puberty doesn't depend upon immorality. I have no license to treat it indifferently and say, what does it matter? It won't matter 100 years from now. It does matter, young man, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse. Otherwise, that stain will be there 100 years from now. Big business to make a mock of sin. So much of the media is engaged in it. Lies are made to take the form of policy. What is the cover-up? What is the release? What is the official communique? How much truth is there? How much credibility? Listen to the excuses for wrongdoing. Listen to the cheap jests. It's popular to be a little soiled. You use swear words before your audiences to get laughs. With risque stories, sin is only preacher's talk. Let's snicker these old prudes out of business. Now, this tendency to make a mock of sin has bred the lawlessness prevalent. There is the riot of the modern home. Parents parade exposed before growing children. They scorn sanctity. They're determined to build marriage and family on the anything-goes philosophy taught by the modern campuses. Children of preschool age are encouraged to be sassy and impudent. And this is, God marked disobedience of children to parents as a no-no. We accept it as a part of a new permissive concept. Sir, it is rebellion against authority. How can you be good when you sow evil? So we load our courts, we break down our judicial system, all because we won't do it home. But God requires of parents. We laugh about it. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. That's in your Bible. There are seeds of self-destruction. We make violence our superior form of entertainment. What chance do good music, biography, practical education have in the midst of an economic thirst for blood and brutality? The advertiser, the banker, demanded to build in. It ensures a steady, quick profit, catering to the carnal, the sadistic in mankind. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, we make a market sense. The courts have joined us. They foster quick release. They wheel and deal in plea bargaining. They hurry new definitions of abortion, academic liberty. They make havoc of moral values. The government is more concerned about saccharine than it is about out-of-reach, ruthless property tax appraisals. If we force the tobacco companies to put warnings on their packages, why don't we force breweries to put warnings on their bottles? We do not use the word mock that God uses in this text. We use palatable, modern language like minority rights, economic foresight, sociological adjustment. Homosexuality, to our psychologists, is no longer a mental or moral disorder. It is now selectivity. Now, we see this tendency in the amusements of this hour. We promote the sensual, even though box office hits like The Sound of Music. Like financial wreckage, we succumb to the cry for more sex. We wallow in it. Our professional critics call these efforts of Broadway and Hollywood sick. Nevertheless, we glut the market with the cheap, the offensive, the vulgar. We stretch for shock. We peddle the obscene. The screen and the stage could and should be vehicles for blessing. We turn them into passion pits. We mock decency. Can you defend current dance styles? Elijah would feel right at home. He reviewed these dervishes. He saw them in self-injected madness cut themselves and brutalize themselves. He saw them writhe and foam. Lady, the dance that interprets lust and heat and violence and obscenity and gutter desires is of the devil. You know what it did to Herod. You can't sanitize these wriggles and jerks. Not every fly that buzzes around the lamp gets burned. I know that. But every fly that flutters in and out of that little jet stream of heat flirted with danger. And eventually that fly is caught. The fiery furnace reaches for it. Suddenly wings are scorched. That withdrawal power is canceled and death beckons. And that dance will get you, girl. And church member, Mama, you are making a mock of sin when you sidestep the danger and okay your daughter's participation as a part of her school's physical education program. The chances of escape aren't as good as the odds I'd give you for the fly buzzing around that lamp. And you'll find an application of this text in our scripture. We want the preacher to talk about less disturbing matters. Positive thinking is preferable. That text won't uncover anything except inefficiency. We ask for music that soothes and entertains. Soon the artifacts are more important than the spiritual values they're meant to represent. The sinner is referred to counseling and analysis. We remove altars and avoid confrontations with hell. We turn these expensive edifices into religious country clubs. And in a theological way, we too are guilty of making a mock of sin. The text says this is the work of a fool. It's a harsh word. No one likes to be called a fool. Why does your loving God use it? Because it's true. First, because of what sin is. Fundamentally, sin is not a matter of outward act. It is inward. It is a perversion of the will. You do something you know you should not do. It's rebellion against your best judgment. It makes you a rebel. It makes you an outlaw, subject to arrest. There's something that collapses inside, mister. It collapses due to rottenness. Something inside breaks down. It produces polluted action. This expresses itself in two directions. First, there is wrongdoing. Sin is a transgression of the law. Truth is law. Lying is breaking the law. Theft is the breaking of the right to private property. It walks brazenly over thou shalt not of God Almighty. It says impudently, I won't have God rule my life. I'll tell every one of you on the other side of the fence that every law of God is for your protection and your pleasure. So you sin against yourself, sinner. God has made no law in his own interest. God's entire thought is for our welfare. He has no other purpose. And second, lawlessness expresses itself in failure to do the right. It isn't enough not to be wrong. It isn't enough till we do right. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is seeing the load you ought to carry and refusing to carry. It's seeing the fight in which you ought to be involved and refusing to engage in it. It's seeing the seed you ought to meet and refusing to meet it. It's seeing the character you ought to be and refusing to be it. That makes you a fool, sir. Mystic. Sin is no trifling matter. It's deadly. Read history, sir. Sin destroyed the Empire of Babylon. It destroyed the Empire of Rome. The Ciceros and the Caesars could not stop the ravages of sin. Ask the individual. Ask David. His sin chained him and tore his family to shreds. It soiled his son Amnon. It made him a rapist. His sin ruined his brilliant son Absalom. It made him a murderer. And sin will finish you, lady. Sin divides. It separates man from God. You'll know it. You'll feel it. You can't find peace through stimulants to drugs. It makes everything that's worthwhile hazy. The Bible says you put distance between yourself and your godly mother. No one could drag you to a gospel service with a team of horses. You don't want Christian music in your car. What is the trouble? There's something between. That's the trouble, mister. It makes you strangers. It divides you from others. It builds hatred so that an ungodly sister will despise her own brother. Sin fills cemeteries. Solve the sin question and you will solve the war question. And it divides you. It divides man from his better self. It produces the most ghastly and the longest of civil wars. It did for Saul of Tarsus. He cried from the agony it caused in him. Later he would go to the whipping post. Later he would be shipwrecked. Later he would be stoned and imprisoned. But these never tortured Paul like the split personality he knew when sin reigned in his life. Sir, When you take sin lightly, you're inclined to seek God's remedy lightly. And that's the most foolish stance of all. When the plague of serpents hit Israel, God provided a remedy. It was life for a look. And thousands died because they were just too proud to look to accept God's provision. So many said, it's only a small scratch. There'll never be infection. They were the ones who toppled into their grave. And I tell you this again, ladies. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no substitute. Jesus alone is God's antidote. You say to me, I don't need it. I'm all right. God said there would be people like yourself. They are that whole need not a physician to say that I was sick. I tell you this, I knew I was sick. I was sick with conviction. I was sick with loneliness. I was sick with failure. But that all changed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Little stripes were healed. And I knew when it happened to me. We're drawing nigh. The Lord's contract to be the same. This is a precious time. You invite us to be included in these next 10 seconds. Mrs. John Clay loves the long, long altar as it reaches her. Delray Beach, Florida. She's 81 and a widow. She's been alone for a long, long time, and these moments are precious to her. She's very conscious of temperament. She gathers with us. Mrs. Earl Cavett finds these divine moments reaching her at Tacoma, Oklahoma. They strengthen her with mighty men of man. Lyndon Minot kneels with us in the Bronx. New York City, he knows they produce benefits in his life. And Linda Walden of Baytown, Texas, has so often felt the presence of these great issues of faith. But she's been driving, so from every direction, amid every class and occupation, we unite and bless the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. Now as the only begotten Son of God, Redeemer and Messiah, all authority is given to thee. Thou art present with us in New York City, in the state of Texas, in Manila, in Ghana, West Africa, everywhere the meeting touches, I thank thee for releasing the prisoners of sin who call on thee from repentant hearts. They are here seeking forgiveness and cleansing. Sanctify those who seek relief from fleshly habits. I pray for hard-working, patriotic people in government service. Encourage these citizens with public support. I pray for wives holding on for alcoholic husbands. Let these heroic women see a new day. I pray for those witnessing cells among our professional athletes. I praise thee for this great day of the church. I thank thee for breaking down so much bias and animosity between Christians. And I pray for thy evangelists everywhere. Amen. I know these next seconds are scheduled to be the greatest in the life of some person right here. It's a long, long order. I've ever felt the presence of Jesus. I feel his presence at this moment. Now there's a friend praising the Lord's love. Was not enjoyed hearing without a maid for many years. God will that you should hear, my friend. Right now, take off that aid. God has made you his witness to the ministry of his Son. Your healing testifies. To the resurrection of Jesus, declare your healing and give all the praise to our Lord. I'm so happy for you. I'm his evangelist. This is the meeting. There's nothing to memorize. There's nothing to join. The Holy Spirit brings us together. The one business is to exalt Jesus. You have helped, and I have helped, and I love the Son of God. He's my Savior. I want to meet him face to face, and I will in a twinkling, just after the day text of written. No pleasure on earth offers can compare to this time. So, I'm depending upon the Holy Spirit with you. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.